Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Mystic 3 Radio. Today we have a show all about relationships. Relationships is really such a broad topic. It can be a relationship with people, most of all, a relationship with yourself, a relationship with your environment, but relationships and the emotions that are tied with it. And I am Elaine Reed Cole, and of course, joined with my lovely co-hosts, Mimi Searfoss and Dana Zimmerman. Hi, girls.
Howdy.
Hi, Elaine. Hi, Mimi. Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah. So, relationships. Deep sigh.
Yeah.
We've all had our ups and obviously our downs with them. I don't think that there is, you know, one person on the face of this earth that has not had a roller coaster trip with relationships. So where would you guys like to start with this topic?
Well, I can start with one thought that I think is often overlooked because I think culturally we really push for independence in relationships. And we have this word that we banter around that we like to say codependency. In fact, I hear it from a lot of my clients. I have to work on my codependency. And I recently did a lot of research and work around this for something I'm writing. And I was startled to, I've always known this information, but I was sort of startled to put it together in this way. And that is that we as human beings are completely made and fully wired to be interconnected. In other words, we release hormones, a whole Molotov cocktail of them, but one most notably is oxytocin, when we touch another, which is why sexual and physical relationships are more interconnected or tougher to sort of unravel once started than other types of relationships, but we are literally healthier when we have interconnected relationships. In fact, people don't have interconnected relationships end up being quite sick people. And so I started to think about this idea of codependency and how I, particularly a lot of women that I'm working with, get on themselves about, you know, how they're not independent and how they're attached, and that's a bad thing. And I don't think that – I think we do relationships a disservice when we look at them like addictions. Of course, relationships can become addictions, and those can take some time to unravel because of the physical interconnected piece. But I think we also need to give ourselves a break and realize it really is the way things are supposed to be. So the question is, how do you – choose wisely and form healthy relationships so that, you know, you're not in an abusive relationship, for instance, that you're fully interconnected to. So that would be how I would open this discussion.
You know what? You had one word that you threw in there, and, you know, I zone right in on that because it's kind of important for people to hear this, the addiction. You used the word addiction. Mm-hmm. And that is something that only the person themselves can actually pinpoint and see. So this is when obsessive thinking starts. So even if it's a bad relationship, and now you want to control it, you want to have it, you have to have more, maybe you've split up, and what happens is that you save little things. You save little love notes. You might save a gift that they gave you. You have all these little reminders that are around that pulls you back in always into this obsessive thinking about that particular person. That is a form of addiction. It's not just a remembering. It's this isn't good for me, but I'm going to go for it anyhow. So I'm not talking about, you know, a deceased loved one or something like that, although that can begin to fall into the area of an addicted relationship too, you know, grief, addicted to grief. But I'm talking about this is a bad for you relationship, and the way that you still emotionally just draw yourself back into it. So I'm glad you brought up that word so that, you know, maybe we can talk about that a little bit more when people get obsessive about something and how to actually, you know, break that cycle, give that up.
Right. And I think, too, people fall into the trap of forming an idea about what the relationship is. At some point they decide there's a story that's built in your head, for instance, about what the relationship, particularly romantic, is supposed to look like. And then, and I think this, many people are guilty of this, they begin to work towards forming the other person to fit the story. And that never works.
That's right. That's right.
Right.
Never works. The only person that you can work on to fit the story is yourself. And if that other person doesn't fit the story, they just don't fit the story.
That's right. That's right. He could be the perfect guy if only he...
Right.
Blah, blah, blah. You fill in
the
blank. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah. You know, and and then you might actually get them for a certain amount of time to fill in whatever that blank is. But if you started out in that trend, you're going to do it again. So they filled in that one blank. If only he could blah, blah, blah. And then it's the next one. Well, if only he could blah, blah, blah. And then... when you're so obsessed with doing that, you know, changing that other person, molding them, you forget to work on yourself.
Right.
So, you know, it's kind of a detour type of behavior to just think about the other person. Well, they could be perfect.
Or Elaine, I would say changing situations in the relationship to hopefully change the relationship as well, like people having another child or having children or, you know, getting a pet together or doing things that, you know, commit the relationship more into a more solid form, but don't really change any of the dynamics between the two people in them.
Right. It's kind of like...
we all know how great... having a child is to saving a relationship. That works every time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, and we shouldn't even be laughing, but it is, you know, the scenario that happens over and over again.
Over and over.
It's really,
yeah.
It's like
right.
building a house on a really poor foundation. You know, it
yep.
looks beautiful all above ground, but the whole thing is going to crumble because there's nothing supporting it. So the first thing that you have to do is, when you're building something from the bottom up, is that foundation, which is you. So that's where all relationships actually have to start, is with you and you doing your own work. You know, God, we all know the movie, You Complete Me.
Right.
That's like... really? Really? You know, find yourself to be completed as much as you can. Do your own exploratory work, and then that way you have more to offer someone else. So it's not kind of like, what can I get from somebody? It's more like, what can I offer someone?
Yes.
And that's the way to look at it.
Yeah.
Now,
what's the other line from that, though, the comeback line from that movie when he Tom Cruise does that long diatribe and ends up with, like, You Complete Me, and she comes back at him and she says, like, you know, you had me at hello or something like that.
Right.
And she was ready to take him back no matter whether he completed her or not.
You want to slap him? In the movies, it can work. In real life, you have to take a look at your dynamics. Now, that doesn't mean that you automatically give up on a relationship if it is not running smoothly. And that's something that I, you know, want to bring to people. Relationships take work, period. They just do. And that was that roller coaster that I was talking about, you know, the best of relationships. People who are married, you know, 50-some-odd years or whatever, you ask them, did you have, like, a period of time that was bad? And, you know, 99% of the time they're going to say, yeah, yeah, it was bad. It was rough. It was a tough time. But we got through it. And that's what you want to hear. We got through it. So a lot of people are always ready to throw in the towel. We are definitely in the day and age of, you know, divorce. It's commonplace. You know, it's the way you do it. Instead of people necessarily saying, all right, let's take some work at this. And then
I think
it's important to own what you did. I think that's a biggie. You know, it's easy to say, oh, that person did blah, 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 and that's why the relationship fell apart. But you have to look at the dynamics of both, and for people to own what they may have done. And that's the hardest place to look.
I think, I think you could talk the other side of the coin on I think that there is an inordinate amount of people that are staying in a marriage just because they think that's what they're supposed to do and they're miserable.
Yes. Yes.
So
absolutely.
So you have to be, I mean, our society puts a huge stress on what marriage is and what that's supposed to mean and all kinds. I mean, it really supports, although there's a lot of people getting divorced, and I think that, you know, there's a percentage of people that are running around just sort of serially marrying and divorcing, there is a lot of people in relationships that are miserable that feel like they can't, like they're going to be shunned by society or they're huge failures or I really think there's room for us to sort of redefine the ability for people to move and change. I mean, you know, when you're 20 years old and you marry someone and then by the time you're 50, there's a lot of personal changes and shifts that go on and sometimes people just don't fit anymore.
That's right.
And
that's
sometimes
right.
People marry the wrong people. So
that's right.
I just wanted to
that's
throw
right.
that in there, that there
oh,
is
no,
another
it can,
side to the...
It can absolutely be both. What I would suggest is that you try. You know, sometimes I just see people who they're singing the me, me, me song.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They, you know, it's really important to listen. It's important to listen to both sides. And, you know, if your partner is actually repeating something over and over and over again, can you actually hear them? Can you read between the lines? Can you understand where they're coming from? Is this irreconcilable differences, or is this something that it's important for you, rather than singing the me, me, me song, to be able to hear them and then compromise? Because that's a lot of you know, what a relationship is, too, is it's compromise. It's let's work this out. What can work for both of us? And that's important. That's very important.
I think a commitment to speaking from the heart rather than the triggered wound is of utmost importance in any relationship, even
yep.
when you're in the grocery store line, you know. And I think we forget that often when we
yeah.
get our feelings hurt or somebody, you know, pokes one of our festering wounds.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. When they push that button because they know right where it is, and then you find yourself in that same, you know, rhetoric back and forth and back and forth,
right.
and you're playing that game. I mean, you know, I've been with my husband for quite some time, and sometimes I'll just look at him and say, would you shut up? You know, just stop. Just stop. We know where this is going. Stop. And sometimes that's what you have to do, too, when you see that this is a repeat pattern. Oh, my God. You don't have to play that game. You don't have to continue in that conversation. You can just stop. So that's
it's
what
so
I do.
Darn frustrating when that conversation is never solved. I'm just saying.
Yes. Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the fingers in the ears, and you go la 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 la. You know, it's like this is. Wow, it's a broken record. It's a broken record, so guess what you do with a broken record? You toss it away. That's it.
Or you
know,
respond differently.
Yeah, you come up with a new conversation.
Yep,
it might
exactly.
be the same topic, just a different way to approach the whole thing. Now, we do have another caller on, and you know what? We've told people before to try to raise their hands,
and
it doesn't work. So honestly, we're going to unmute you, and if you don't want to say anything, then that's fine. But if you do want to say something, then that's fine too. So I'm going to unmute you now. Your last four digits is 7855.
Well, hi guys, it's Sharon.
Hi, Sharon.
Oh, Sharon. Hi. So we didn't scare you. Good.
No, not at all.
I'm good. Good.
So, wonderful topic today, and I just wanted, I was thinking while you guys were talking how, you know, that's so true what you said about hard times, and, you know, I think some of you know that my husband has thyroid cancer, and we're going through
yes.
a pretty tough time right now, and you know, the changes that we're going, especially this week, going through hypothyroidism, he's a different person, and I need to take a step back and be more patient because he's not able to think as clearly as he could. So you're right. You just have to work at it and learn to be more patient. I think that's part of it, and lots of prayers. So.
Yes, lots of prayers, some tolerance. Now, Sharon, I hope this is okay, because all three of us know you pretty well, and we know that you had a relationship prior to the marriage that you're in. So, you know, you kind of come from a place where you've had a few relationships here, and, you know, even though it was a really tough time with the first relationship, do you feel as though you pulled some gems, some real, you know, learning wisdom that you could apply to your life from it, so you actually got something good out of something that was bad?
You know, I think that's very true. I mean, nothing in life really happens that you can't pull a gem from, that you can't learn from, that you can't move forward from. Earlier you were talking about addictions, and I was in a relationship that was all about, you know, me serving him and me being the perfect wife and me being the perfect mother, and I had a full-time job, but I needed to make sure that everything was perfect for him. And, you know, so it was, I spent so much time doing that I just really never took the time to really look at what I needed. And, you know, and that's so critical, because we think that we, and a lot of us are pleasers, and we take care of people, and some of us are hyper-vigilant, so we have to make sure everything is perfect. My childhood wasn't good, so I married somebody who was just like my mother, and it took me years to realize that. And, you know, it was one day, you know, this is kind of graphic, but it's really true. We were at a baseball game, and my husband was drunk, and he spit on the ground, and he said, "That's what I think of you." And it was like, that was it for me. At 23 years of marriage, and I just said, okay, I'm done. I knew what I wanted. I knew that I could be loved because I had so much love to give. I never lost that ability. I just knew that I was never going to find it in this relationship. He was, you know, you said you got to look at both sides. So, and I did. But I just walked away, and I actually had to leave the state because he threatened to kill me if I ever left. So I did. I just left everything behind. But my girls
were
alone.
I think you telling your story is something that's important for our listeners out there to listen to, because I know that right now there's other women or even men who are listening to this that go, yeah, I can relate. Yeah, I can relate. And then, you know, you did walk away. You weighed both sides. You took a look at it. You gave your time and effort to it. You moved away, and what happened after that is you didn't stick your head in the sand. You actually found a new relationship, and you were better. You know, you knew exactly what you didn't want because you already had it. So
that's
now
true.
You had something that was better, that was far more supportive, that has, you know, it's a partnership. And
that's
even when you have that perfect partnership, you know, like we said, you still get your roller coasters. And, you know, I'm sorry you're going through a really tough time with your husband right now with his illness. That's a difficult thing.
Right. But,
so,
he's, you know, strong. We have a really strong relationship, and we're very blessed. And, you know, it does go back to I knew what I wanted. I knew that I wanted somebody to love me for who I was and not try to change me. And Jim loves me. I mean, he's completely 100% supportive of me, and that's what I needed. But I didn't want to get married again. I was terrified to get married again because I thought I was waiting for the other shoe to drop. He's very nice. You think, how nice is he going to, you know, is he always going to be nice, waiting for the Jekyll and Hyde part to come out? So, and I think the real key for me was seeing how he treated other people. And I was very observant to that. And it was very critical to me, a lady, a waitress, a young waitress, a sweet little waitress, had a tray of fish that was tilted slightly at an angle, and all of the fish juice and liquids were going on Jim's lap.
Oh.
And we hadn't been dating very long, and he was so kind to her, and he treated her with such respect. And there was a little boy nearby, and he said, "Oh my gosh, sometimes these things just happen." And everybody in the area started laughing, and Jim started laughing, and I thought, he really is a keeper. He's really nice.
He's a good guy. He smells like fish, and he's a good guy.
He stunk to high heaven. I'm telling you, he stunk really bad. But
and yet, you knew. At that point,
he's good. And that's a key. How do you treat other people? If you don't treat other people with respect, you're not going to be treated with respect. And
right.
I saw that right away, that he was a kind person. He really was sweet to her, and she was like beet red, and she was apologetic, and, you know, it became humorous, and everybody in the area, you know, we made something that was really bad into something really good. It could have been awful. I'll tell you, my first husband would have tore her a new one. He would have just threw her up one side, down the other, and spit her out, and I would have been humiliated.
Instead, it all went okay. It was just fish guts. It was just fish juice. You know, no big deal. Not a killer. It's
But it goes back to what you guys said earlier, is you need to know yourself and learn who you I like I say, I did not want to get married again. I've been married 23 years. I was on my own. I had a great job, loved the people I worked with. I would have been fine by myself. I would have been fine if the relationship hadn't have worked out. But, you know, I was blessed and it did. But I always knew that I just wanted to share love. I wanted to be loved for me. And I am blessed.
See, that is the perfect foundation. And the thing that I love is that you just said, but I knew I would be fine if the relationship didn't work. So when people are out there and they're, you know, waiting for that, like, my life will begin when I have this relationship, you know, all will be well when I just find a husband, all will be well when I, you know, match.com mm-hmm. finally comes through. Really? Can't
that's
all
that completely
be well?
Thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's, let it be fine first. It's okay if you're not in a partnership kind of relationship. It's okay. Let it be okay. Get comfortable there. And then perhaps you can add someone else to it.
Right. I think that's very important. That's a really good point. My daughter, one of my daughters, can't stand being alone. She just really doesn't like being alone. She likes to go places with people. And I always tell her, well, I actually enjoy time alone. It's like my favorite time. It's quiet. I can do what I want. I don't have to answer to anybody. But it's just
it's a matter of getting comfortable in your own skin. Now, I will say, I do not care to go out to a restaurant and eat by myself.
Yeah, me either.
Yeah.
Do that.
I do find it difficult. I know I can. I really don't care to. So in situations like that, I would rather be with people. But I am home by myself quite often. It's where I work from and stuff, and I am fine about that. But when I go out into the world, which is why I look at people who can actually travel on their own too, they just travel. Yeah, I'm going to go to Europe. Oh, who are you going with? Nobody. I'm just going by myself. You know, I think how awesome that you feel really comfortable with that. And, you know, so I admire people like that. And it's something that, you know, I think it's important for all of us to maybe work on a little bit more. It's just uncomfortable for me. Go ahead, Mimi.
Yeah, me too. And I think for me, I spent most of my childhood by myself. So I would say to myself, why bother traveling? To me, that just makes me sad. It's like, oh, another experience that I can't share.
So
it's not like I'm, I freak out when I'm by myself, but I would prefer
people, at least one.
Yeah.
I get it.
I would prefer to share external experiences. That's for sure.
Yes.
You know, what you say is really important, but I will say that I did travel on my own. I went on a Sylvia Brown cruise a number of years ago, and that's how this whole thing started. That's how I met you guys. I met some people there, and
I
did it myself.
Yeah.
Is that
the one that Colette was doing with Sylvia Brown?
No, that was the one where two ladies were on the thing, and they said, oh, if you like Sylvia, you will love Colette. We'll get you into the intensive. And that's when I went to the intensive, like less than a month later after that. And if I hadn't have taken the step to go by myself to this thing, this cruise, and it was educational, and I thought, wow, that'd be perfect. But I did travel by myself across country, and I was on this cruise all by myself, and it was amazing. So it took a lot, but, you know, it was a special circumstance. My sister had just died, and I had some money from, I got her last check. I was her beneficiary, and she loved to go on cruises. So there was a lot of that went into play, and it was like, life is so short. This is something I've wanted to do my whole life. I'm just going to do it. So I do.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. I hope that inspires people out there, too. And honestly, you said your sister had just passed, so you know what? We know your sister
yeah.
is with you, too.
She was.
So not
absolutely.
Really alone.
Nope.
Yeah. Very awesome. And for anybody who's listening and you don't know, we were actually referring to Colette Baron Reed, who... she actually came up with the Master Intuitive Coach Institute, which all four of us that are online right now actually took and became master teachers through it and all that. So that's how we know Sharon. So Sharon knows a lot about relationships also. And I'm so glad that you called in and shared your story with us, Sharon.
Well,
yes,
I'm really
you.
Glad I was able to listen. Usually I'm not home on Wednesday mornings because we have Mila on Tuesday, and I take her to school. But it's today worked out because she wasn't with us today.
That
so,
is perfect.
I'm
well,
really
you know what?
Yeah.
You're welcome to hang and stay on for the rest of the show. You know, we'll leave your mic open, so... why not? Join the party. Join the crowd.
All right.
So,
Elaine, I just want to chime in and ask Sharon a question that I think might be interesting to hear an answer to, because I've been in a similar situation as Sharon. And, you know, Sharon, we know that your husband Jim is going through treatment now for the thyroid cancer. And, you being a person who's prone to be a caregiver, I just wanted you to share with us what are you doing for yourself to support yourself during this situation.
Sure,
because it's a difficult situation when you have to be supporting your spouse, and you can't. It's very difficult when they're the sick one to share how you're personally feeling about their illness with them. It's something it's very difficult, and I wasn't able to do it when I went through it. So what are you doing to support yourself?
Well, it's interesting you said that. Jim walked in the door just as you said that, and he said the same thing. Jim was saying yesterday, you know, honey, I was thinking that in September we should go up to Washington on a trip. And I said, well, we need to just kind of play everything by ear, see how you're feeling. Everything's, you know, that's good. But he goes to bed really early because he's tired. And when we do have Mila, she goes to bed fairly early. So I usually stay up later than I normally would just to have some quiet time for me. And I like to read or I just do anything to take my mind off of stuff. So I'm doing a fairly decent job of that, but I find that I'm feeling a lot more tension and stress, and so it's just, and I try to do the Envision thing. You know, okay, where am I? You know, so I'm
there, but there are certainly, you know, thoughts and fears and things that you can't share with your spouse that you might normally, you know, that might be normally be the person that you share those kind of things with. So are you finding an outlet for that?
I'd have to say not really. I usually just kind of keep it inside. I do have a couple friends I can call, and you've been wonderful, Dana. You know, when I've really been stressed, I've texted you or instant message you. It can be rough. It's very hard to watch somebody who's so strong not be, and to see the frustration from his perspective. And
that's
really the hardest part. And, you know, just trying to help him. I know the prognosis is good. They expect everything to be okay. It's just it's just something we have to go through. And I do have friends I can call, and you guys are wonderful. And I have Sarah's coming today, as a matter of fact. She's got something to do in the Bay Area, so she's going to fly in a day early.
Oh, that's
so
great.
Sarah, another master coach. So, yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. So Dana, we had gotten on the Mystic 3 radio page a message from someone. So do you want to actually kind of highlight that and, you know, give us the pointers so that we can actually answer it for this person?
Sure, I'd be glad to. Now, one of our regular listeners had some questions for our relationship show, and she actually sent us a message saying that this show couldn't be any better timing for her. It's great synchronicity. She said that she's in a kind of difficult phase, kind of can't sleep, can't eat. She has a date coming up in the next few days. And so the subject of relationships is taking up a lot of time and space in her mind. So she wanted to know what we felt about, well, the first question she has is how to open up again. So without any background, I'm assuming that this gal has had past relationships, probably some wounding, and so now she's back testing the and asking how to open up. So what are your thoughts on that, ladies? How to open up, how to trust again?
Well, one of the things I think that you kind of need to do, it's almost like how do you open up? Well, you have to kind of clear out what was there to begin with. So that's a matter of really getting into, like what I had said before, you know, as far as you get rid of pictures, you get rid of anything that maybe reminds you or pulls you back. But the other thing that you do is you get rid of anger, you get rid of resentment, and kind of like what Sharon was talking about with her, you know, previous relationship is, you know, you have to find the gems in something, and then you can begin to trust, because now you know what you're looking for. You know, it's kind of like you know the difference between gold and fool's gold. And that's how you begin to build it back up again, know what you want, know you, and know what you want and know what you need. So would anybody else like to add to that?
Yeah, I think it's important to realize that we always move forward. We never move backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And our memories tend to pull us backwards. So when you enter into a new relationship, you really need to hit the reset button, and you need to understand what beliefs you've established around, you know, say you're a woman and you've been hurt several times by men who continue to lie to you and are abusive. If you move forward into that new relationship believing all men lie and are abusive, you most likely are going to find that again.
That's right.
And so that's that part about knowing yourself. You can't get rid of those experiences, but with each of those experiences, you become a new person. You will attract new things, and you too also have to begin to interrelate differently, and things will be different. So I'm kind of advocating the benefit of the doubt. You give people the benefit of the doubt within reason. I mean, you don't like rip off all your boundaries and you know, within reason. Like I loved what Sharon was saying about, you know, her having a date and realizing that the man she was with was extremely kind because of the way he treated this waitress.
It takes
time, and trust and respect need to be built and earned. And you know, so begin giving the person the benefit of the doubt, and realize that if you're carrying any of the old baggage, you're most likely going to just experience the same thing, but different, because you're different and that person is different. It's all sort of a process and a learning experience.
Right.
Perfect. Yeah, I think that's wise. Yeah. Benefit of the doubt, that's a great way to put it, Mimi. And also, One word we didn't bring up is trying to practice forgiveness for some of the things that have happened with the relationships in the past, so that you're not projecting them, like you were saying, Mimi, in some kind of established pattern, or you're not projecting what you don't want in a relationship onto the potential new one.
Yep,
that's it.
I mean, she's making a list of things that, you know, of past belief systems or past things that you've, you know, seeing the repetitive, because repetitive, when things repeat in our lives, those are huge clues of things that we need to work on internally.
Right.
That's right. Your lesson keeps coming back around and back around and back around until you have learned it.
Yep, that's one of those laws, like the law of attraction. That one's the law of repetition.
That's right.
And I think, you know, relationships are risky. They take risk. You cannot be intimate and connected without risk. It requires vulnerability. And
that's right.
A good answer to her next piece of her question is how to stop being judgmental or looking for excuses not to engage or seek for reasons not to engage. So, you know, like you said, I think she needs to understand that relationships are risky, and to take the judgment out of it and to take the excuses out of it.
You know, I look at relationships like if you go to the beach, you're never going to know what the temperature of the water is until you dip your toes. However, I am not one of those people who I go to the beach and I just run and dive in. I will always test the waters first. So it's a little bit of test the waters. Dip your toes in. Take it slow. If it's not right, it's not right. How many people are on the face of this earth? Take a look. Like, oh my God, there's billions of people on this world. So, you know, if you meet one and this isn't the partner, then guess what? There's a whole lot more out there. And if you meet another and it's not the partner, guess what? There's more out there. So you just keep dipping your toes. You keep testing the waters. You keep get out there. Get out there and just eventually, sometime, if you're ready, and I think that's the key, if you are ready, then you will find somebody who you are going to spend more time with. But in the meantime, that's where you have to work on, is getting happy with yourself. So
yeah.
that kind of goes to the person who wrote this message here, is that, you know, get happy with yourself.
I think
going back to
vulnerability, I see this a lot, where people hide how they're feeling in terms of their feelings and vulnerability within a relationship, and they act a certain way within that relationship, but they really want something else within that relationship. And I don't know if I just made myself clear.
I followed that. I actually followed that, Amy.
And the thing is, if you're feeling vulnerable, like say you realize you're in love with somebody, and you're hiding that fact, you are still completely vulnerable whether you're sharing that fact with the person or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so I often see a lot of people getting into these games of like not being up front and cat and mouse to protect themselves. And if you saw me, I'm sitting in my office and I'm putting that in quotes. And it's kind of a waste of time, because when you're in that deep, you're already vulnerable, whether or not you're sharing that with the other person or not.
That's right.
And, of course, there are appropriate times and these things develop so that you don't freak the other person out if they're not ready, et cetera, et cetera. But there's this interesting dance that happens, especially early on when people first meet each other. And I don't know, I would just like to see people being more willing to be truthful and vulnerable, since we all are anyway.
Well, you know what? This takes us to the whole edge of the science behind it, and, you know, like everything that the HeartMath Project is based on and stuff. If you are having those feelings, then someone else feels that. They just may not admit it. But that's the whole connected thing that you started off with, Mimi, is that we have to connect. We have to feel that energy exchange. We are connected whether we want to be or not. So it's important, you know, to get on mind, body, and spirit, that connection. So if somebody is emotionally attached to you, you can feel that. You know that. You might be in denial of it, but it's still there.
There are also instances where you can have, you can, there are instances where somebody is fully, fully, deeply in love with somebody else and they just aren't on the same page.
Yep,
but,
that's
but
right.
But that's a different discussion, I think, energetically than what you're talking about. And I think oftentimes when that sort of thing happens, the person knows it anyway. So there still is an exchange going on.
That's right.
The other thing that I think is sort of an interesting thing to talk about in terms of relationships is we don't really, I don't know how much we really choose the ones that we fall deeply in love with. They just, it's not like we can control it.
Mm-hmm.
They happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to throw
that
in there.
Some of that, I think, is a chemical kind of thing, a chemical reaction.
Chemical,
and, you know,
karmic.
More power to it, you know. It's,
yeah.
More power to it,
just
I think that's great. Yeah. Yeah, it's
more
than
sometimes it could be, it could be lifetimes of karma.
Right. So what is it that forms it, and how does it actually happen? And, you know, people, they'll say, I fell instantly in love with so-and-so. The minute I saw you, I knew. I do believe that when something like that happens, it is a karmic type thing. You know, you have known them before, and, you know, you're going to have a relationship with them now, either to work out something that was unresolved before, or it's a love that just continues and continues, you know, like a soulmate or twin flame. And, those things happen. Not
I
for
just
everyone.
Think it, I think
Sorry.
Relationships have changed a lot in that direction. You know, you mentioned soulmate or twin flame. You know, that's a very current view of what people look for in a relationship. When you think back to what it was even a century ago, when it was about titles and estates and arranged marriages, and, you know, it wasn't just love between two consenting souls, but now, you know, it's more of a spiritual thing, a seeking of a soulmate or a twin flame, you know, somebody who's going to mirror your path and walk with you and is dedicated to your self-care as much as you are to theirs, and it's going to be there to help you get through everything, who's trustworthy, who doesn't take the relationship or you for granted. I mean, you know, people are looking for a whole different thing these days, spiritually in a relationship.
And thank
you. You know,
goodness.
And that's kind of on one hand. There's also the other hand. I was reading an article that a friend posted today about this is how we date today, and it's kind of like actually the exact opposite, about there being so many choices and so many places where you can go to meet people, you know, OkCupid and Tinder and Grindr and all those places, Match.com, and that there's so many choices that people, and the choices are made a lot of times over an internet through a screen, and there's not that connectedness.
Mm-hmm.
So there's kind of two sides of the same coin happening in the modern relationship field, where we're seeking that soul, that twin flame, that romance, but we're trying to do it without really even physically connecting with one another.
Which makes it that much harder. Of course, not impossible. So if we take away, here we go into, you know, physics and stuff, if we take away the fact that there is no such thing as time and space, then we can actually tap into that person, we can feel them, blah, blah, blah. However, it does seem like a cold approach. However, it's what is going on now. So if I was single, I would have to jump into that game because, honestly, that's how it's going. And
I do
feel for people who are in that game, but you have to play the game. That's how you date nowadays. If you happen to meet somebody face to face, awesome. But odds are, if you look that person up, you're going to find that they're also on Match.com or eHarmony or something because, you know, they were out there and they were looking. Now, that's another thing, is that people have to present themselves in a profile. Oh, my God. When I was 20, what would I have said about myself? You know, and that's something that is really like, God, I don't know what I would have said about myself. And that takes relationships just into a whole new area. Like, who knew that you had to almost like come up with a resume to be able to date?
Yeah, and you know, I know a lot of people who are married that met through those services.
That's right.
Right, I did too.
Yeah, yep. So it's definitely, it works for some.
This is how we date now, you know.
I know.
But, this is Sharon. I'm going to jump in because
please,
my daughter was married in March, and she had never been married, and she met her husband online, and they met for coffee, and once they met for coffee, they were inseparable, and that was more than a year ago, but they were just inseparable, and she was 49. She had never been married.
See, isn't that so nice?
Yeah.
We know another person. Her name is Carolyn. I won't say what her last name is. But she also, you know, she wasn't old by any means, but, you know, just was looking for Mr. Right, did a Match.com thing, and it worked out. And now she lives in this, like, beautiful mansion, married to a doctor. Life is good, you know, and it worked. So we do hear those stories. It is a matter of playing the game that is at hand.
Yeah.
You know, this is the day and time. Our parents are not arranging our marriage like Dana had brought up. Thank God for that.
Yeah, thank God.
Really? You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you have to marry that person to get that kingdom, or, you know, I'll marry you because you've got a good dowry.
People still marry people for kingdoms.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do, but luckily not in our society, so okay, you know. Although, if a prince or king wants to ask, no, I'm only kidding. So, you know, it's just a very interesting day and time that we have to do that. So you have to play the game. Not that this whole thing is about the dating game, but it kind of is. So if you're going to go out and play that game, some of the things that I think you have to do is really think about your profile. Think about your safety. Think about what it is that you want in a person. Be really good at discernment and reading between the lines. Know how to use your computer and do as much background searching as possible. Always.
Also, believe what the person tells you about themselves in conversation. You know, people reveal themselves.
They
don't disbelieve what they tell you. I mean, if they're bragging, that's another thing. But when they say, "Oh yeah, I'm a mess. I really have trouble connecting with people," believe that. That's a revealing statement.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
On the other hand, if they tell you that I own 3 yachts and, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know what? Again, use the power of discernment.
Yes.
And you begin to ask around, if you meet somebody and they are not willing to share with you their friends, back away, back away, back away.
Oh, very true.
You know, very true. You know, you want to see the birds of a feather that they flock together. So who are they friends with? Where do they go? You know,
also, if they keep
a secret.
What
are the other relationships in their life? And that's how you can actually see, is this somebody who I can actually be with? Like Sharon watched her husband interact with another person. That's what you want. But if it's somebody who only wants to see you and not share the rest of their life, not at all, then I'd back away, back away.
Agreed.
What are you hiding? Yeah.
Right.
So
what
are
you
hiding? I want to bring up a point that I think is important that I see a lot. And I think that people who are single, who haven't been married, have a tendency to look at their past relationships or themselves as having failed at relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that perspective is distinctly damaging, because life is a process, and I do not believe we are meant to only have one relationship that is all roses and glory and not go through processes of relationships with people. And I really am saddened to see how many women in particular think they fail at relationships because they've not managed to be married. Because most people have long-term relationships, even if they didn't end up getting married.
Right. Right.
And
it's not Cinderella,
not
guys.
It's not
Cinderella. And that's some of... in a prior episode, we talked about fairy tales and the influences of stories and all that. Well, you know what? You can't base your life upon some fairy tale. Look at it like you're writing your own story. This is your story, and this is how your story is going. And don't compare it to anybody else's story. Just gather from it. What's the best things? Again, we go back to the gems. What did you pull from
that? What did you learn? What? How did you grow? I mean, everything is a stepping stone to something else. It's not meant to stay exactly the same. It's impossible, actually. Things change consistently. And I see people getting in traps of either not moving or feeling like they failed in some way as a human because they haven't reached some milestone that was told to them should happen.
That's right.
And it's just simply, it's a lie. It's not the truth.
So I would suggest to people to get yourself an etheric treasure chest, picture in your mind a treasure chest and go back over every relationship you've had in your life, not just romantic, but perhaps, like the relationship with a babysitter, the relationship with a parent, the relationship with a sibling, the relationship with your first boyfriend or girlfriend, the relationship with your child. And instead of looking at the things that you want to criticize about it, find the one thing that was good. There will always be one thing. Even if that mm-hmm. person turned out to be horrendous, find that one good thing, a fleeting thought even, and put that in that treasure chest. That's what you want to build off of. That's what you want to focus on, especially when you're moving forward into another relationship. And once you are equipped with that whole treasure chest full of those good thoughts and those good tools, then that's what you're going to attract. That's what you're holding on to. So where thought goes, you know, this is what you attract. Form follows. Look at the good things. Look at the joy. And then you bring about positive change. It's tough with the axe murderer. but I'm still just saying, you know.
There's still a gem there.
there's a gem there. Maybe he kept a very sharp axe. I don't know. That was good.
It's the get the hell out of there gem.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. No matter what it was, you can find something, some little thing in there that was good. Even if it's you have to go back and think about that person that they were a tiny little baby and, you know, when they were born, their mother loved them. You know, it's something. Put a twist on it and just keep that. The rest of it, you don't need. You don't need that. Take it away. Why dwell on it? You don't have to think about it. It's done. It's in the past.
So, Dana, did we answer all of the questions? From,
I know. I think in a roundabout way we got to it all. She did add a part of being sort of like hyper excited and not knowing how to tell the difference between being truly in love or just being, being infatuated, being in the lavender haze, that kind of thing, to paraphrase. Yes.
You know what I want to say to that? It doesn't matter. When it's brand new, you know?
Right.
Enjoy it. It's
right.
Like
you're always
buying
if
new clothes.
if you're infatuated and you're newly feeling excitement about a relationship, you're right. Just to enjoy it and don't try to discern what exactly it is, you know?
That's right. That's right. Yeah, we
don't have to
distill it down to the root core. If it makes you feel good, go for it. And that's important. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like I said, it's like new clothes, you know, those new jeans and stuff. You just put them on and, God, it makes your shape look good and all that. But, you know, 100 washes down the road, they're faded a little bit and they're worn in, but you still like them just as much. They just don't quite do the same thing that they used to, but you're not going to toss them out anyhow because you love them.
Right.
Oh, relationships are like a pair of jeans. There you go, guys. That sums it up. All right, so we
Relationships are all about you. I mean, they really are.
They're
not about the other. They're all about your internal process and your relationship with yourself really drives what you're going to get externally. So
that's right. That's right. All right. Anybody else got anything to add here before we wrap it up for the day? I will take that as I think we did pretty good. I do want to thank Sharon Lair for calling in and, you know, being the, let's say the example for so many people out there that are listening and how to go through relationships, survive relationships, and, you know, have some great longevity out of them. So thank you, Sharon.
Oh, you're very welcome. My pleasure.
All right, and for Mystic 3 Radio, I am Elaine Reed Cole, and you can reach me on Facebook on the Mystic 3 page or Elaine Reed Cole, the Winged Mystic, and also at my website, www.thewingedmystic.com, and Mimi.
My name is Mimi Sirfoss. And my website is www.msirfoss.com. I'm also on Facebook and the Mystic 3 page. And Dana?
And I'm Dana Zimmerman, www.danazimmerman.com. And you can find me on the Mystic 3 Radio page on Facebook and on my own page on Facebook.
Perfect. All right, guys, and until next week, let's keep talking about it.
Keep talking about it.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.